Whenever you have a doubleheader, it's a big deal. A double dosage of Torah this week, Parashas Tazria Mitzora, and we lay in this week a very beautiful Haftorah, the Haftorah of the Arba'a Mitzora'im. The Arba'a Mitzora'im, we'll talk about it later on. I think the highlight of this week's Parasha is the Pasuk in the Haftorah. The Pasuk in the Haftorah that says, I love these words, Vayomru ish el re'eyu loichein anachnu oisim hayom azeh yom b'soirohu. It's a good day today. It's a day of good tidings. You always mispala b'soirois toivois yeshuois v'nechamois. Right? We always say that. B'soirois toivois. So tomorrow on Shabbos we're going to learn the words yom b'soira. It's a day of good news. Who? Hayoim hazeh, yoim b'soirohu. So if you're learning those words from a Tanakh, you're learning with a bracha milafoneha, bracha lachareha, it can't be bad. It can't be a bad thing when on the Shabbos Kodesh you say, you make a bracha before and after, and you say the words, hayoim hazeh, yoim b'soirohu. So let's talk a hope that it should talk a beard. It's a good time. Maybe we'll discuss some of these things at the end, but let's first discuss some other issues about this week's parasha. And let's start with something which we came across in the afternoon. When we're learning this week in the afternoon, we're a very small group in the afternoon, we learn Chumash Rashi and Unkelis at 7:15. If everyone wants to join us, you're welcome. And we had a very, very lebedika conversation. Is Avlei Zabachi here? Avlei, where's Lei Zabachi? He was the one that was part of this whole discussion. He's over here. He's not in front of his screen. We had Avlei Zabachi and Meir Bachi had a very lebedika discussion about the first pasuk in the parasha. Well, the second pasuk. Da'aber b'nei Yisrael leimor, isha ki sazria v'yalada zachar. Now, if you take the word ki, there's a very big debate as to what exactly, how to translate the word ki sazria. What's the translation of the word ki sazria? The word sazria is rooted in zera, seed. And I think most of us, certainly me, when we read this pasuk, we get the impression that we are describing conception. Okay, we're describing either the act of conception, which brings about conception, or describing conception happening, whatever the science is, however it works, we're describing conception. And then it says v'yolada, and then we go to the next words of the pasuk, and the woman gives birth. There's a problem. The problem is there's something in the middle. In between conception and birth, Tisha mi yodea. Tisha, ani yodea. Tisha yarche leida. This hey royon. There's something called pregnancy. So why did the pasuk skip the pregnancy? It should say, Isha ki sazria, which will loosely translate as if a woman conceives, vihora, and she was pregnant, and then the yolda zohar. If you want to describe the process, okay, you want to give a course on education, how babies are made. I don't want to say certain words, okay? I don't want to get censored here. So there are three parts. There is conception. There's a very long, painful period called heirayon, pregnancy, and there's birth. If you're not interested in describing the process, then cut to the chase. Then the pasuk should say, Isha kiseled, a woman gives birth. Kiseled zohar. Isha kiseled zohar. So what's the halacha? V'tama shevas yomim. She's there for 7 days. And v'yoyim hashmini mo besar losoi. I mean, what's going on over here? Why is the Torah bothering to tell us anything about the conception? Kisazria. Who's interested? Who's interested in this? I know, so Rashi tells us there's a drasha, there are halachas. Don't worry, if we didn't have this drasha, the Ribbono Shel Olam will somehow work out a way where we can figure out the halacha that we need to know from the word kisazria, whatever it's come to teach us elsewhere. What's going on over here? Just cut to the chase. Isha kiseled zochor. If a woman gives birth to a male child, she's tamea for 7 days, period. And she's sorry for 33 days. Oh, you want to go tell me how babies are made? You give me a course in high school, public school, how children are made? Well, if you have to give me the whole course. There's a thing called kisazria, and then there's something called pregnancy. And we say that in the Haggadah, tisha miyodea, tisha niyodea, tisha yachileda. And then there is the actual birth. Why are you skipping the middle step? So it appears, what we've learned this week, that the Targum addresses this issue. And the Targum disagrees with Rashi. He appears to ignore a Maimer Chazal in the Gemara. And in a very unusual way, he translates the word Kisazria with the exact same word that he uses to translate the word Heroyon, pregnancy. And according to the Targum Onkelis, the translation of the Pasuk is Isha, a woman, Kisazria, if she's pregnant. How did she get pregnant? None of your business. That's not our topic of discussion. Torah here is not here to tell you how she got pregnant. It just says, a woman walks into the OBGYN and she says, I'm pregnant. So the OBGYN says to her, who's your rabbi? Who's your rabbi? You have to know what to do when you give birth. When you give birth, you're going to be tamei for 7 days and then you're going to be 33 days of tahara. The OBGYN would never ever ask a woman how she got pregnant. I mean, he's out of his mind. He'll be fired in 1 second. That's invasion of privacy. That's not your job. A woman walks into the doctor's office, Isha Kisazria. She's pregnant. That's how the Targum Onkelis translates the word Kisazria. And why, according to the Targum, would you want to say pregnancy? I don't know. Why is that relevant? I don't know why that is relevant over here to the Pasuk. But it's at least a little bit better than Rashi, or Rashi is not, you don't really know for sure Rashi, how he translates the words, but if you're going to translate the words, ki sazria conception, then you're killing someone with faint praise. Because by skipping the step in the middle, the pregnancy, the sound of that pregnancy is deafening. We all know that you can kill someone with faint praise. If you have a lot to say about a person and you say very little, that is a statement. You're trying to diminish the significance of what he's deserving of. So here the Pasuk says, a woman, she conceives and she gives birth. Excuse me, what happened to those 9 months in the middle? Where'd they go? Disappeared? Rabbi Elazar, we were just discussing a conversation that you had during the week. So what's going on over here? Why is it absent? By deliberately leaving out that step, by positioning the beginning and the end and deliberately leaving out the middle, the Torah Adaraba is drawing enormous attention, is spotlighting, highlighting, putting the limelight on the pregnancy, as if almost to say there is no pregnancy. Why? What's going on over here? So we discussed this idea during the week at night, but I want to say something different that we did not learn then, and that is, and this is going to lead into another idea we want to discuss in a few moments. We're really going back to Maisa Bereishis. In Maisa Bereishis, when Chava was created, it does not appear from the Pasuk that a woman suffered Chevle Leida. A woman suffered the tsar of heroyon, of pregnancy. How long did it take? What was the gestation? What was the pregnancy? How long did it? I don't know. It seemed was it 9 months from Maisa Bereishis? Very possible. It doesn't really say clearly. Cain and Hevel were born on that day, so maybe it took tab in one moment. I don't know. That's not our discussion. But one thing is for sure. It does not appear there was any pain or any suffering that a woman had to endure for pregnancy. It could very well be pregnancy happened instantaneously. A woman conceived, Cain and Hevel were born on the day that their parent, that the Chava conceived them. That's what it seems to say in the Torah. I don't know, maybe yeah, maybe not. I mean, you know, there are different ways of learning the Maaseh Bereishis.
Yeah, you can bring a right because at first the Klala came after eating from Eitz Hadas. That's when
I know, right? But okay, there are some mysterious things that there are some loose ends that have to be addressed. And however you learn the Pesukim, and they're in different Mahalchim, but that's not our point. The point is clear as day. After Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, Hashem cursed Chava. And she said to her many things. And one of the things is Veheronech. And Rashi on that word says Tsar Heroyom. Let me read the pasuk. Okay, there was Tsar Gidlbanim, Tsar Leda, the Etzev Teldibanim, that's the Tsar of the actual Leda. And then there was Heronech. And in the context of that pasuk, Rashi commented, it means the tsar, the pain of birth, of pregnancy. Let me go to the pasuk one more moment, please. Okay, here it is. Okay, it's on Perek Gimel pasuk Tes Zayin. El ho isha omar, to the isha Hashem said, harba arbe itzvoinech, I will increase very much your suffering. Rashi here writes, itzvoinech means the tsar gidul bonim, which is now going to be out of order from the next two words, which is interesting. Why did Rashi put this out of order? That's a different topic. And by the way, the other Rishonim learned the word itzvoinech refers to dam nida. It refers to the cycle of a woman becoming a nida, the cycle of an isha. And then it says, vehei roinech. Rashi, hei roinech. Ze tsar ho'ibur. And then it says be'etzev, it's sadness. Teldi vonim, Rashi, teldi vonim, ze tsar haleda, of the actual birth. This was a curse. This was not the way it was supposed to be. It was only because Chava sinned and gave Adam to eat from the Eitz Hadas, she suffered these consequences. Now, but it was not meant to be. This was not the way it was meant to be. When it comes to the Leda, notice the Leda, it says here the word Be'etzev Tel Dibonim. I want to make a very important deal. When it comes to the Heironeich, the Pasuk does not say the word pain. El Hu Yishomar Harbo Arbe itzvoinech, the itzvoin, sadness. What's the sadness? Gidul bonim, that's to raise the children. They're already toddlers. They're ready, whatever they are. You have to stay up the whole night with them. You have to go to PTA. You got to deal with all their problems. You got to pay their bills. You have to worry about them your whole life. Okay, that comes later. Why is that part of their life written before the next part? I do not know. But that's not relevant for us. That's a tsar that comes later after the baby already is born. And it says the word itzvoinech. Then it says veheironech. Notice there is no word associated with the word heironech. Just the experience of heiroin itself is painful. Heiroin is painful. You don't need the pasuk even to say the word the etzev of the heiroin. You don't even need to say it. Because pregnancy in and of itself is a painful experience. Then it comes to birth. Is birth a painful experience? So from the pasuk it's interesting. It depends. Not always. I don't know what it means not always. Supposedly that's the most painful thing a woman ever goes through. Birth. But here it says it adds the word be'etzef. There will be a pain of teldivonim. An etzev of teldi. Now, we jump fast forward Parshas Tazria. Isha ki Tazria. She conceives. It doesn't say there's any pain in conception. And then it says Viyolda. Oh, what do you mean Viyolda? Where's the pain? The Yoldavonim. It says Be'etzev Teldi. How come here it just says the Yolda? In Maisa Bereish, it says that when a woman gives birth, it's Be'etzev Teldi. And here it says the Yolda. What happened to the word Etz? How come the word Etz have just disappeared? Why don't we mention here when the woman is giving birth, she's giving birth in a state of pain? So you'll say, whatever, that's obvious. You don't have to go, you don't have to rub it in. Okay, the curse is that she'll have pain. That's not the purpose over here to review the curse. But take note, the word Etzev is not present. It just says she gives birth. And we have to also understand that before before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, a woman had to give birth. That's a given. A woman had to give birth no matter what. That was built into the Bria. A woman gives birth. So you can't assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world to torture us where women have to give birth in pain. It can't be that it was part of the original divine plan that when a woman gives birth, it's always going to be with tsar. Hashem did not create a world for us to suffer. That's pure apikorsis. This is a whole school of apikorsis tries to attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a desire to cause man pain. And those apikorsis did us a very good favor, because by them presenting a whole thesis that everything that Hashem does in this world is guided, is to give man pain, and we know that just the opposite is true. That everything that Hashem does in this world is to give man benefit. And it's not possible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world where the original plan was when a woman gives birth, she has to suffer. The suffering that comes about in Leda was a curse because of Chet. Be'etzev Teldi. But it appears that the entire process of pregnancy, I don't know what it means. I don't know what the original plan was and what was the curse after, what happened after the curse. But it says just one word in the Torah that was appears after the chet, part of the curse, hey royon, hey ronech. And Rashi says that means tsar, the pain of pregnancy. Now, with that background, now we go to our pasuk. Over here, we are describing a very beautiful event. A woman giving birth to a child, and the woman and a bris milah will take place on the Yom HaShemini. The Torah here is describing, I want to leave this, and then, let's take one step back. And then, after we finish this description of what's going to happen over here on day 8 of the baby of the bris milah, we're going to describe, you know, the korbanos, what she brings for Leda. And then we're going to launch a long, complex sugya, parsha, of tsaras. And tsaras is not a very pleasant topic. It's a very unpleasant topic, which comes due to chet, for many, many reasons. Mostly shemra, it comes from gaiva, it comes from a long, long list of reasons why a person gets tsaras. And it leads to isolation, bidud, which unfortunately we all know a lot about. It leads to horrible, horrible consequences. And it's a very ugly process of atonement where a person has to be quarantined, he's humiliated, he has to shave off every hair from his body, including his eyelashes and the hair on his arm and chest. It's a very humiliating process.
It doesn't lead to masks, though.
Okay, but it's how do we know? According to some Mefarshim, Tsaras first came with leprosy. Was a contagious disease. Rav Shimon Schwab says it was a contagious disease, and the person had to be mamish quarantined. He couldn't go into his room without wearing protective gear. It's not so simple. You didn't have to wear a mask and protective gear. According to some of the Rishonim, you did. The person that had tsaras, it wasn't just spiritually dangerous, it was physically dangerous. A leper. Today, someone has leprosy, someone has all different types of these contagious diseases. They have to be quarantined. You can't go near them. That's why they have to be put in isolation as well. There's a spiritual element of isolation and there's a physical element of isolation. So that's not so simple. But going back to our topic, we're going to learn in this parasha a very, very painful, uncomfortable sugya of tsaras, which comes due to numerous types of sins. Many types of sins can cause tsaras. The consequences are enormous. The suffering to the person, to the family, the humiliation, the process of Tyra is complex, it's long, and it's humiliating and expensive as well. Before we get to the unpleasantness, the Ribbono Shel Olam did us a very big toiva, and he gave us a simcha, something good to keep you going for the whole process. A mazel tov. Someone had a baby. A mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
A shalom zachar, a bris, pinyin aben. The woman is tahor for 33 days, no questions asked. You don't have to go to the rav, no maros. Everything is wonderful. It's so wonderful. The Torah tells you. It begins by describing the Leda the way it was meant to be from the time of Maisa Bereishis. There is no Heroyon. The Torah didn't need to tell us about the Kisazriya, the conception. The Torah should just cut to the chase. Isha Kiselit Zohar. She's Tamei for 7 days. Who needs Bris Mila even to talk? Even who needs the Bris Mila? That's not our topic over here. Our topic is Tumah V'Tahara. No. I'm not here to make your life miserable. I'm here to give you inspiration. You're going to have a lot of misery coming ahead. But at least let me make it pleasant for you. And let's give you a simcha, a bris mila, a shalom zachar, a vachnacht, okay, a vachnacht, and a party on the 10th day of mila, and all the bells and whistles, all the trimmings, and the balloons, and the locks, and all the unhealthy food that you can possibly digest 8 o'clock in the morning. We'll give you all of these things. And you know what else I'm going to give you? The Leda was a Leda the way it was meant to be from Maisa Bereishis. There's no Etzev in the Leda. There was no need even for an epidural. The baby just came right out effortlessly. And what about the pregnancy? The Tsar, hey Rayon, 9 months of torture, of being nauseous, and of going to the doctor and bed rest and this and that. What are you talking about? What Heirayon? Heirayon is a curse. It only came into existence after the chait of the Eitz Hadas. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of the entire process and the entire concept of Heirayon. And the way we're going to get rid of it is we're going to highlight its absence. The way you highlight its absence is we're going to start with Kisazria, there's conception, and then we're going to completely omit the Heirayon, and we're going to describe the Leda without the word Etzef. The way it was meant to be at the time of Maisa Bereishis. That's the Hakdama to the Parsha. Wow, that's a good feeling. Adam HaRishon the greatness of man, the greatness of humanity. Man is a great, holy person. There's no chait. There's conception. There's no mention of the tsar heirayon. There's no mention of the tsar leida, kisei leid. And now there's a wonderful event to come close to Hashem, the bris. Hashem was the chorois imoy habris. Hashem made with Avram Avim 13 covenants of bris mila, connecting it to Eretz Yisrael. And we now mentioned tahara, 33 days. Wow. Build up man. You have to build up humanity before you knock him down. It's not nice, you walk into a shir, and the first thing the Rav says is, you're all a bunch of good-for-nothings. You did every avera in the book. And I don't want to look at you, and you're all going to go straight to Gehenna. Don't pass go. That's not a mahalich. The mahalich in life is, you build up a person. You build them up. Gadlus ha'adam. And then you give him a zetz. And then you knock him down. You have to first show respect. I like this, the Vart regarding the Yavama. What does the Yavama do? What does the Yavama do to a brother-in-law? She has a brother-in-law, and the brother-in-law doesn't want to do his duty. He doesn't want to marry her. Shidduch crisis. The husband died, there are no children, and there's an obligation to rebuild this person's home. And she says to the brother, are you going to rebuild my brother, your brother's home? It's your duty. It's your obligation. Your brother died. Rebuild him. We'll get marry me. I have a child. The child will be called after the person who died. And the brother-in-law says, your shidduch resume does not meet my standards. I'm not going to marry you. So she said, basically she says to him, you're good for nothing. You're a piece of garbage. You don't want to fulfill your duty in life. And what will she do to him to show that? She spits. She spits at him, in front of him. The yarka b'fanav. You piece of garbage. That's what you are. Spitting at a person is the greatest insult you can possibly do. The Torah says it beferish. V'yavia yorik yorak b'fanech halosti kolem shevas yamim. She spits at him. There's no way out of ignoring the fact that the Torah said that she should spit at him, as if to say, she says to him, your brother died, you have an opportunity to rebuild his bias, and you're just a good for nothing. You're a piece of garbage. You don't want to do the right thing. So she spits at him to let him know that he's a piece of garbage. But the Torah says that before she spits at him, she should do one thing in advance. What is that? She should bend down on the floor and take off his shoe. What? What is that about? So I know you'll tell me Kabbalistic things, what it's all about, but let's talk real simple talk, like my level, real simple. The act of taking off a shoe is what a slave does for his master. Ad kidei kach, that when you want to acquire a slave to show ownership, to make a maisa kinyan in the slave, the way you acquire a slave is you tell the slave, serve me. Serve me. And by you serving me, it becomes, it's a legal, it's a maisa kinyan when the slave does a service. So what is the kinyan that the slave does? He takes off the shoes of the master. You come home from work, a long, hard day of work. You sit down on the sofa, on the couch. You put up your feet on the footstool. And the slave, my master is home. Can I bring you a hot drink? What can I do? Oh, let me take off your shoes. And the slave takes off the shoes of the master. Taking off someone's shoes is the ultimate act of honor. I am your slave. You are my master. The Torah says to the Yavama, Yavama, you have to go now and spit on your brother-in-law to say to him, to give him some mussar, to say to him that he's a real piece of garbage who doesn't know how to do his duties in this world. But that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous to go, to walk into a room and to give someone a frask, to go and be mevaza someone. It's a very dangerous thing. It has to be done within context. I know who you are. You're truly a very great person. You're a Talmud Chacham, you're Yari Shamayim, you're a respectable person, you're a holy person. In this one element, in this one area of your life, you have failed. But you're a wonderful, wonderful person. The first thing the Yavama does is, she says, I am your slave. I have the greatest respect for you. What I'm about to do to you, don't take it the wrong way. Don't take what I'm about to do to you in the wrong way. You should know I respect you. I recognize who you are, what you are, what you represent. I recognize your true greatness. Unfortunately, there's an issue. It's a very minor issue. And in this one element, I have to go and give you some mussar by spitting at you or near you, in front of you. But before a person has the audacity to be mevaze someone, you have to first show respect. You have to build up the person. That's exactly what's happening here in our parsha. Our parasha is not called Parshas Milah. No, it's funny because you would say, it's called Tazria, so it's true. It is talking about Kat. Well, you know, now that I'm thinking, it really goes together. Tazria Mitzora. What's the key Tazria? Tazria doesn't need to say Tazria to begin with in the parasha. That's not relevant to our discussion. It just says, Isha Kiselet, Parshas Kiselet. And then comes Mitzora. Tazria Mitzora. It should really have been Parshas Kiselet Mitzora. Selet Mitzora. Why Tazria? The Tazria is only here to emphasize that there's no pregnancy. And that the Leda has no Etzev associated with it. And there's a Bris Milah, a Simcha to boot on the Yom HaShmini. Why? My Korah. Because before you can come to Mitzora and say to man, you're a piece of work, and say to man, wow, look what you have done to yourself. Look at the sins that you have committed. Look at what you have done to yourself. You go into bidud, isolation, and lockdown for a whole year. Look what you did to yourself. Look at the crimes you committed. Look at what you've done. Before you can go and you can say to man, man, you got problems, and to suffer the humiliation, the public bezionis that goes along with the parashas Mitzora, you first have to build up, man. You first have to give the ultimate kavod to man. We have to go back to Maaseh Bereishis. We have to describe the birth of Adam koidem achet. Isha ki sazria. Pregnancy? Who ever heard of that? Tisha niodea. Tisha ein aniodea. I never heard of this. I never heard of this pregnancy business. Ein aniodea. What are you talking about? Where does it say pregnancy in the Torah? Doesn't exist. That's a curse that came into existence because of chait. So forget about pregnancy. The Yolda? Oh, it says Be'etzev Teldi. No, what are you talking about, Be'etzev? Adam Kaidem Achet. Bayoim Hashmini. Yimol Besar Orlosoi. This is the Shlemus of man. Man is a partner. When we talk about Bris Milah, we always talk about what is Bris Milah all about. If Hashem wanted you to have a Bris Milah, He would have made you with a Bris Milah. You would have been a complete Bris Milah. You don't go send Amazon Prime defective products. You send it back and you check off, I'm returning the subject because the product is defective. Man comes out of the womb, send him back. And check off on the return Amazon Prime, defective. He has an Arla, defective product. Why is it that man? Because Hashem has so much faith in you. He wants you to be his partner. He wants you to participate in the creation of man. He left over something for you to do. The beginning of Parshas Tazria Mitzora describes the ultimate greatness of man. The birth of man, koidem, the chait of the Eitz Hadas. And the greatness that man could achieve through Avraham Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Of the shleimus of man, of Bris Milah, the covenant with the Avos, and Moshe Rabbeinu, all the laws that go along with it. We've built up man to such a degree, it's unrecognizable how great he is. Okay, and now have a seat. We want to give you a little musr. Shtickle musr. There's a mitzora. Don't speak Lashon Hara. Don't be a balgaiva. Don't do this, don't do that. And you know, if you're going to sin, there are going to be consequences. You're going to have to go into isolation, quarantine, and the coin's going to have to come. Before you drag man through the mud, you have to first build him up big, big. The more you're going to drag him through the mud, the higher you have to first build him up to appreciate, to show this true greatness. And that's what we do in the opening of Parshas Ki Tazria. We're going back to Maisa Bereshis, and we're describing the creation of man Koidim Dechet Eitz Hadas, with none of the curses. And then alluding to the Bris Milah, which represents the contribution that man added to this world, that is was achieved through the Avos, the covenant with the Avos, the Yud Gimel Brisos, and all of the complex laws. Bayom Hashmini, there are many details in this pasuk which include not just Avraham Avinu, includes Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Wow, that's big. Big, it's so big, it's perfection. And now we can deal with the little things in life. When someone does a little avera, how you should deal with it in the form of tzaras. Okay, that's our first idea. Now let's go to another idea. Different, something similar, but a little bit different. If I have time, I'll come back to what I was about to say. I want to say something totally different now. Okay, totally different idea. This week, when we were learning about tzaras, we had a whole shiur. We said over an hour on this. Is there tzaras bizman hazeh? Is it possible today for a human being, a member of Klal Yisrael, to be a mitzorah? Is it possible? We had a whole shiur this week. Could it happen? If a person has on his skin a white spot, a deep white spot with two white hairs, goes to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist happens to be a Kohen, a Kohen Miyuchas, a Rappaport, he says, "Sir, to me this looks like tzaras. I hereby declare you Tomei. You are now Tomei." This guy's in a lot of trouble. This fellow has to go into, we had a whole discussion, he has to go into quarantine. No one's allowed to look at him, be with him. He has to go put a shmat around his, he has to basically sit shiva. That's really what he has to do. He has to rip his clothing. And he has to wait until the tzaras heals. The Kohen has to come back and declare him tar. He has to go through this humiliating process of shaving off all the hair of his body, taking two birds, innates, erez, ezo, shni, terlas. He can't bring the korbanos at the end, but he can do everything else until that point. Should we do it in Zman Azev? A person has a white spot. If a dermatologist takes note that there's an unusual white spot with white hairs, should he go and send him to the local Kohen? I don't think so. No one's doing this today. And we had a discussion if it even exists today. And there are conflicting sources. It's not so simple. In Shulchan Aruch, it almost gives you the impression that it really, theoretically, you can do it today. It can happen today. If a person has a white spot and you go to a Kohen, and he says, "You taught me. You got a big tzara on your head. Okay, just don't go to the Kohen. Don't look for trouble." We had this discussion. So, but basically, there's no one here who ever heard of this. What I'm telling you now sounds strange because no one today talks about tzaras. And in fact, most of the Rishonim will tell us that tzaras is not something physical. The white collar is a supernatural, spiritual nega that does not follow the laws of science, so this entire thing is impossible to happen in our day and age. Fine, gesundheit. So this parasha basically is totally irrelevant. There's ethical lessons, there's mussar, there's lashon hara, there's that. You can darshan the whole day, all of the, which we do. We read the parasha, you learn the rashi, you learn the mussar, so there's what to learn, but it's not very practical. Okay, fine, no problem, wonderful. But the truth is, there's something about tzaras that is so relevant that it's almost more relevant than almost anything else in the whole Torah. And what do I mean by that? Let's speak about the Kohanim. If you ask the average person, do Kohanim today in the modern world, without the Beis HaMikdash, without the coming of Mashiach, do they have any real relevance? Do you really need these guys? Any Kohanim over here? Do you really need Mr. Kohen Azov? Do you really need them today? What have they done for you lately? They're just getting in your way. I want to give an aliyah to my best friend. Oh, there's a Kohen. Every Every day you get, every day, or Alan Gross here also, I'm getting into a lot of trouble now. Every day,
the Kohen,
okay, so Birchas Kohanim, very good, Birchas Kohanim. So many Rishonim say that the Birchas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz and even Eretz Yisrael is only practice for when Mashiach will come. They say this, it's a shocking thing to say. They don't do Birchas Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz, they only do it on the Shalosh Regalim. Why? Because even on the Shalosh Regalim, it's just practice. Because if there's no Shekhinah in Klal Yisrael, so the Birchas Kohanim is no different than if a regular person says Yivarechacha. That's a really nasty thing to say. I don't mean to insult anyone, but I'm not saying this. And not everyone, don't worry, most don't agree. Most will tell you that the Birchas Kohanim is real. Okay, so you're right. It's real. 3 times a year. Thank you very much. 3 times a year, so we need the Kohanim. The rest of the year? So you'll say, well, so what then a Kohanim for? When there's a Beis HaMikdash, it's their place. No one picks up a finger inside the Beis HaMikdash other than a Kohen. The Beis HaMikdash is the domain of the Kohanim. They call the shots. We say every day, every day, correct. In Chutz, every single day. So we Svardim, yes, yes, I know, I'm aware. Of course, I know people, I know Ashkenazim who go specifically to Daven Misar Shalinyan, because they want to hear the Birchas Kohanim. Okay, I'm just saying nonsense to bring out the point I want to make. You know, I'm just trying to dramatize this a little bit. Of course we need Kohanim today. Of course we appreciate them. We cherish them. But I just want to bring out a point. And the point is, the main role of the Kohanim is to uphold the sanctity and the service of the Beis HaMikdash. And when there is no Beis HaMikdash, then the Kohanim are out of a job. And in the Kinois on Tisha B'Av, we actually devote a whole Kina to the Kohanim, because there's no one that felt the loss of the Beis HaMikdash more than the Kohanim, because that's their bias. The Kohanim, they have no land in Eretz Yisrael. Their life is everything about their life centers on the Beis HaMikdash. And it's very sad that today, when there is no Beis HaMikdash, there are no Kohanim. That gives you the impression that the Kohanim's domain is only in the Beis HaMikdash. But this parasha teaches us an incredible chiddush, and Rashi emphasized this point, that the Kohanim have another very important role, and that is to go out into the world and take and answer doctor's calls and inspect people to determine if they have tzaras. And this has absolutely nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. Even Birchas Kohanim is only in the Beis HaMikdash. Duchening is part of the Avoda, not in Shul. What we do today in shul is not that's not what the Kohanim are supposed to be doing. This is what we do as a takana bizman hazeh, because there is no Beis HaMikdash. Birchos Kohanim is in the Beis HaMikdash. Every single thing the Kohanim do is the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, we give Pidyon HaBen, we give them a gift, we give them gifts. So you give them 5 sons, they redeem our children for us. Okay, but as far as services, what they do for us, we support them. We give them the Zeroya, the Lechayim Va'akeva. We give them Pidyon HaBen. But what do they do for us? What they do for us is only in the Beis HaMikdash. One exception, Tzaras. They make house calls. How do you like that? If someone has a Nega, you don't go to the Beis HaMikdash. You call up the Beis HaMikdash and they say, we will dispatch a Kohen to your location. No need to tell us your address. We have in the GPS. We have all the intelligence here. Israel, we have the best. We know where to get you. We'll come after you. We know where you are anywhere in the world. We'll come dispatch an authentic Kohen. We'll come to Ethiopia. We'll come to the Amazon forest to check you out. That's their job. That's part of the budget, to pay private jets to dispatch authentic Kohanim to the Amazon forest to inspect people that have tzaras and their bottom.
Vuhuva el Aaron, you bring him to the Kohen.
Vuhuva el Aaron Akohen.
Yeah, you bring him.
Okay, but not the bottom.
It's only by the nega bias.
Okay, all right. Even when it says Vuhuva, where do they come? They don't.
Yeah, I know.
You don't come mamish. Okay. You're right. I stand corrected. Right. I stand. You don't. They don't. It's not. But okay. I stand corrected. But what I'm saying is at least true, that it's at least outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Maybe we're gonna ship. You have to come to Yerushalayim, but outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah.
Wouldn't you want to check the house first?
That, well, that depends. There are different times of tzaras. This nigi botim, nigi begodim. Okay, right. The different levels, from different madrigos. Correct, correct. First, the bias will happen before the person gets tzaras. Okay, he's saying it is. But the main point is, one thing is clear. All of the laws of tzaras are outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So you see here, this perhaps is the only service, that a Kohen does for Klal Yisrael that is outside the Beis HaMikdash. Pidyon HaBen, I don't know if you can call it a service. That's more of a gift. I think we're giving them a gift. They're not doing something for us. They're redeeming the child. It's a semi-service. They're getting paid for it. They're getting 5 shkolim. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's one of the 24
commandments. Manas Kahuna. So they're yes. Getting something. Here they're getting nothing. They're not getting a penny for this. They're not getting one penny for this. They have to leave the Beis HaMikdash at least somewhere in Yerushalayim, at least. And when it comes to a bais, they have to travel the world to come and make an inspection. Wow, a service that a Kohen provides that's outside the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, impressive. Curbside service, impressive. Is there any other service that Kohanim do outside the Beis HaMikdash? There's something going on over here. Okay, what is the service? They look at your skin, the color of your skin. This is a very dangerous type of thing in the 21st century in America. To talk about the color of someone's skin, right? Is it yellow? Is it white? What shade is it? Brownish white. Ooh, these are very dangerous terms in America. Okay, this week's Parsha, it's not a coincidence that Floyd's trial is ending on Parsha's Tazria Mitzvah. It's dangerous stuff over here. Okay, different colors. All the different colors. And the Kohen makes a declaration. Tamei tahar v'chulu v'chulu. Now let's take a step back for a moment. What else do Kohanim do? Kohanim offer korbanos. When you bring a korban, not everybody, 95% of korbanos, what happens? You bring the korban to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's a korban oila, they flay the animal. They remove the skin, there's no skin anymore, and they burn on the mizbeach the entire animal. Nothing left. What about the skin? Oh, the skin, the or? That's a gift to the Kohanim. Let's say it's a carbon kutshek, or let's say it's not a carbon oila, it's a chatos, whether it's kutshek, kutshem kalim. Oh, then it's eaten. Part of the animal is burnt on the mizbeach and part is eaten. Sometimes it's eaten by the Kohanim, sometimes it's eaten by the owners or other people. What about the skin? Oh, the skin always goes to the Kohanim. The Kohanim seem to have something to do with the skin. Now let's make another point. When a person does an Aveira and he brings a korban, so we all read in the Sidurim, all these Nuschois. This is the basic principle. It's a Kabbalistic principle. And I don't know, no one seems to really, it's not possible for us to appreciate what this means. But we say this in the Nusach HaTfilah. When a person brings a korban, he's supposed to say, Ribbono shel Olam, I have sinned. And the truth is, my sin is so grievous, I should really give up my life to you, Hashem. I should be like Yitzchak. I should be a human sacrifice. I should lie down and the Kohen should slaughter me. And blood should come from me and my blood should be applied to the Mizbeach. My limbs should be dismembered and put on the fire of the Mizbeach. I should offer my blood and my guf to the Ribbono shel Olam because I have sinned. When a person, now let's talk about the anatomy of a human being. Chazal told us that a person has 613 parts, like a car. 613 parts in the body. I don't know if the modern anatomy books can figure out what the 613 parts are, but this, and I'm not making this up, Chazal say. And they divide up the parts into 365 and 248. There are 248 ramach evarim. They divide up the body into limbs, into whatever that means. I don't know whatever that term means. I don't know if it's possible for us to understand what that means. Organs, what does that mean exactly? Certainly modern medicine does not categorize the parts of the body into this number, but Chazal do, and they divide the body into 248 Evarim, and they divide, then there are the sinews. What is included in a sinew? Nerves? Muscles? I don't know. Arteries? Veins? What does that mean exactly? I do not know. But Chazal say there are 365 Shasa Gidin. Gidin. What a Gidin? We loosely translate the word as sinews, but it probably means something much more complicated than that. And we say this all the time. When Rachmanu Litzlan, we need to be mevakesh rachamim al chole, we say Hashem should send the chole refuah shleima l'ramach evarav ushisa gidav to the 248 limbs and to 365 gidin. And then we have this big dilemma: what about an isha, a woman? A woman has a different anatomy. So for a woman, we don't say this, because a woman, there's a different calculation, and there's a lot of chidushin and Torah describing all of these different things. Very nice, but let me ask you a question. What about the skin? In what category, if a human being can be broken down, if you take a human being, you stand them up, put them in a doctor's office and say, disrobe, and we just have the body, you can divide that body into 613 parts. From that 613, you can divide it into 365 gidin and 248 evarim. What about the skin? Is that part of the aver? It's not. How do you know it's not? Because a korban is the equivalent of a human being. A korban is an exact parallel. Umoisar Odom min habehema oyin. There is no difference between a man and a human being with regard to the anatomy, or at least a parallel to some degree. And that's why we bring korbanos, because the carbon that we put on the mizbeach is equivalent to our body to a degree. So when we put on the mizbeach a carbon oila, you're putting on the Mizbeach 613 parts goes on the Mizbeach. From the 613 parts that goes on the Mizbeach are 365 Gidin and 248 Evarim, as if to say to Hashem, I have failed you. I have failed you in my observance of Taryag Mitzvahs, even though I only did one Avera. But we all know all the Aver Mitzvahs are linked together, and when you do one Avera, you really damaging your entire appreciation of Kol HaTorah Kula. Every single mitzvah relates to all the mitzvahs. So there is damage. So when you put on the mizbeach an animal, you're really putting on the mizbeach yourself, and the animal has 613 parts corresponding to the 613 parts of a person. And we cannot say these words in the Nusach HaTfil. If you say korbanos and you read the Yehi Rotzon that appear in some of the standard Siddurim, it almost says these words word for word what I'm saying to you. But wait a minute, there's one thing we don't put on the Mizbeach. You don't put on the Mizbeach the skin. Before the Mizbeach goes on, the animal goes on the Mizbeach, the animal is flayed. And the skin is given as a gift to the Kohanim. Now, what does that mean? How does that translate? A person walks around this world, he does Torah Mitzvahs. That's the Taryag Mitzvahs. But there's something else a person has that is outside of the purview, the domain of the Taryag Mitzvahs, and that's his skin. What could that be? Torah is everything. What is there in this world more than Taryag Mitzvahs of a Jew to do? And the answer, just to use some basic words, is, like you say, there's the fifth Shulchan Aruch. We all know there are Taryag Mitzvahs. But just because there are 613 laws, there are certain things you know you don't do. Erev Yom Kippur, 5 minutes before Kol Nidre, it's not the right thing to go play poker. You don't go into a OTB to bet on horses 5 minutes before Yom Kippur. You don't watch television. You don't sit down to watch the 6:30 news 5 minutes before you're going to say Kol Nidre. You don't do that. Why not? Where in Shulchan Aruch does it say that you're not supposed to go to the movies 5 minutes before a kosher movie? Okay, kosher movie. Where does it say you're not allowed to go to a watch to a movie theater to watch a kosher movie 5 minutes before Kol Nidre? Where? Show me. Show me. Show me somewhere in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rambam. Okay, show me where it says this. It doesn't say it anywhere. So it should be permitted. No, it's not. Why not? Because that's not what Judaism is about. That's not the way you behave 5 minutes before Yom Kippur. Who is the one that sets the tone in Klal Yisrael that you don't do this? That's what the Kohanim do. Pasuk says, Sifsei Koyein Yishmeru Das V'Toyra Yevakesh Mipihu. The role of the Kohanim, certainly Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim, where they didn't work, they just were involved in Tzarchei Tzibur, it's not just halacha, halacha, halacha. Is the chicken kosher, chicken not kosher? There's a certain way of living. In halacha, you can literally get away with murder. There are legal loopholes for every single thing that you want to do in this world. But just because you can get away with doing it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. There's a certain element of sanctity, of holiness. That's what the Kohanim, their role is. What part of the body corresponds to this intangible element of yadus that's not part of the tayag mitzvahs? That's your skin. Your body has 613 parts besides the skin. Ramach Evarov Ushisa Gidov, but not the skin. So what's the skin? Ki be'or ponecho nasato lonu Hashem Elokeinu Torah Schaim v'ahavas Chesed. Every single day in Shemona Esrei, three times a day, we say those words. Ki be'or ponecho. There's a lichtigkeit. There is a presence that a person has, a presence of sanctity that's not defined in terms of taryag mitzvahs. Your body is taryag, but your skin, the composite, what brings everything together, your tzura, your image, your projection, that's not part of the taryag mitzvahs, but that's the sum total of the taryag mitzvahs. And whose role is it in Klal Yisrael to make sure that everything comes together and a person has a me'ein of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's or upon him? The Kohanim. They set the tone. They are the role models. They're not role models in the world of halacha. This halacha, that's halacha. They're role models in midos, in hanhogos, in what is correct. You can have two people do exactly the same thing, and one person goes to Olam Haba, and one goes to Gehenna. It's a matter of the way it's done, when it's done, how it's done, the reason it's done, the approach. I'm telling you, Dvar Meshutim, everyone knows these things.
It's the Gemara in Makkos about why you've got Ari Mikla, to be amongst the Kohanim and Leviim.
To learn from their ways.
You're going to learn a better way of life.
Just mitzvahs, a role model of how you conduct yourself. That's the or, that's the skin. When you bring a carbon, you bring the 613, but you give the skin to the Kohanim to recognize your way of life is the your role model. Your role model of hashkafa is the Kohanim. Learn from the Kohanim. Study their ways. Taryag mitzvahs? No, you can go take out some good books. You can go take a course online to learn the Taryag mitzvahs. But to learn how to live, you need a role model. Give the skin to the Kohanim. The message is learn from them how to live. When a person has tzoras, what did I do wrong? I spoke Lashon Hara. I will show you 25 Chofetz Chaim books that say that you're allowed to say what I said. It was l'toeles. It was for someone's shidduch. It was for this. It was for that. Most of the time, Lashon Hara is mutter. You know, that's really the facts. Most of the time, Lashon Hara is mutter. What do you want from me? I'm getting tzaras now because I spoke Lashon Hara. Halavai, someone told me this Lashon Hara before when I was in this situation. You're right, you're allowed to speak it, but it's the way you said it. It's the way you said it. It's how you said it. You told someone some very important information about a shidduch, but you made a joke also, part of the process. And you used the word, and when you gave over the information, you could have used a different word. You chose to this. If you don't say anything, you're mamash harasha. You're letting a person go in, who knows? I hear stories like this all the time. People, they're very disappointed. They didn't find out the right information. You have an obligation. It's mutter, 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 mutter. Just because it's mutter, be very careful. You have to know how to do it. When it comes to tzaras, when a person gets tzaras, it's not about halacha. It's not because the kohen is coming, you ate non-kosher meat. The hashgacha only had two hechsherim, only had the OU and the badats. It was missing the eda hacharedos. You're in trouble. You'll never get tzaras for that. Never, ever, ever, ever. That's not what tzaras, because tzaras is about your skin. For eating non-kosher, you may have to go to a doctor because you know your foot hurts you. So then you can make a cheshbon hanefesh. Your Rav Chaim Kanievsky always does that. People come with problems. He matches the problem to a halacha, and he tells you, "I don't know anything, but listen, what do you want from me? I'll tell you. If you have this problem and this problem is associated with this part of your body, this halacha." So why don't, anyway, you have nothing to lose. Anyway, learn this mesechta. This mesechta deals with this part of your body, and this part of your body is bothering you. Anyway, you should learn the mesechta. So why not learn it now? Maybe it'll be for you a zuchus. He does it all the time. That's halacha. But when it comes to midos, when it comes to that extra dimension, the or ponecha, that's not halacha. That's the or, it's the skin. The tzaras is the skin. The kohanim, that's their role. Their role is not halacha. Leave that to the lishka sagozis, the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin, they're not kohanim. They're Yisraelim. Anyone can be a member of the Sanhedrin. There's no discrimination by the Sanhedrin. Anyone can be a judge. Be a Talmud Chacham. You can join the lishka sagozis. The kohanim's role is to present the or ponecha. Or ponecha? When you have a nega in the R, that's our domain. We can't make house calls. When you bring a carbon, you put on the mizbeach taryag. You put on the mizbeach all the body parts, the taryag mitzvahs that you've damaged to your vera. But the R, that doesn't go on the mizbeach. That goes to the kohanim because that's their domain. So the parsha, so it comes out. So what is the result? The parsha of tzaras, it may very well be that today, tzaras doesn't exist. Okay, tzaras, most people will accept the fact that tzaras is purely a supernatural, spiritual malady which today doesn't exist. But the message of tzaras, of leaders, klei kodesh, people today who are rabbonim, who are rebbeim, who are devoted to Klal Yisrael, who are designated by the Tzibur as role models, their duty has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. You don't need a Beis HaMikdash. The Tzaras is not in the Beis HaMikdash. Tzaras is in the street. It's in your private home. Today there is no Beis HaMikdash. The only thing left the Kohanim have left today is Tzaras. It's not going to be the real tzaras, but it's going to be what tzaras is all about. Your skin. There's something with your skin, your skin color. There's something wrong with your skin, which means your way of life is not up to speed. They are the ones that are there. It's not the mitzvahs. You're doing all the mitzvahs, but you don't go watch a movie 5 minutes before Kol Nidre. That's just not the right thing to do. Obviously, we expand upon this principle. Every single person, every single situation is different. What's good for one is not good for the other. But their role is to lift up the people to live a life that has integrity, purity, sincerity, has meaning, value, not just lip service and doing mitzvos are burdens to get it over with, to be finished with. Daven mincha. Baruch Hashem, I'm done with that for the next 6 hours. I don't have to worry about that. If that's the attitude when you daven mincha, you got a big problem. Sfira, oh, can't wait to get this over with. It's a problem. They're not opportunities. That's the or, that's koihanim, that's they get the korbanos, and that's what their role is outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is super duper over the top relevant today when there is no Beis HaMikdash, and it's the only thing they got left. And today, who are the Kohanim? Kohanim are not just Kohanim Yuchasim. Every person today that is in a role of leadership, whether you're a parent, whether you're a Rebbe, whether you're a Rav, whether you're in any position, even just an Orthodox Jew, people look up to you. You're a role model. You are the Kohanim of today. You are the Kohanim who are making the house calls outside the Beis HaMikdash to take a look at someone's skin color. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we spent a lot of time. Let me conclude what we started. We tomorrow make a bracha before we learn the Haftorah. And we make 4 brachas, we finish the Haftorah. And sandwich in between those 5 blessings is a beautiful story about the 4 Mitzrayim who ventured out and found a city of Goyim who abandoned the city. There was a terrible famine, starvation, and they were able to bring and announce this food. There is salvation for Klal Yisrael around the corner, and they brought an incredible salvation that no one ever saw coming. Mm-hmm. Yeshua, this week's Haftarah, we learn about what it really means. Yeshuas Hashem Keherifayim. We learn about desperate situation like none other. People were literally moments away from death. And the next moment there was prosperity. There was blessing. It's hard to believe such a story. Yeshua Sashem Kerafayim. And the way the story is described, and we say this pasuk sandwich in 5 brachas, is we say tomorrow is a very beautiful words to relish the words of the Haftarah. Let me read you the words one more time. The words are, 1 second please, I'll turn the page again. After the words are, Hayoim hazeh, yoim bisoirohu. It's a day of good tidings. We're always being mispalel. We should hear bisoirois, toivois, yeshuois, v'nechamois. Well, tomorrow we read about Hayoim Hazeh Yoim Besoirohu. It's a good day, a day of good news. And we sandwich this in 5 blessings. Halavai, the story of tomorrow and the Haftorah should leap off the page, leap out of the cloth, and be true for all of us, for Klal Yisrael, for the whole world, that all of the desperate situations and the matzavim that we find ourselves in today should just disappear. Kehelefayin. And we should be zoicha to the prosperity, the success, the bracha, the nachas of Bias HaMashiach, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Thank you for coming. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
Have a good Shabbos.
Ron, how are you? How's the menu going?
Baruch Hashem.
A little chilly today, no?
not terrible.
A little chilly. It's not 10 below zero, but...
No, it's fine. Two light coats and I was fine. This is a machaya.
I know, I understand.
What I went through in January...
I understand. I get it.
This is...
Peanuts.
Ashley, we miss you. You're still there.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Good Shabbos. And the whole of Good Shabbos. Rav Meir, good Shabbos. Rav Meir, he got me a black and white in honor. The trial was over. Floyd's trial is over. So
it's
he bought me a present. He bought me a black and white.
The trial's over?
The trial's over?
What?
In honor of the trial. Yeah, they rested the defense. I think they said yesterday.
The equity cookie.
I think they said they rested the defense. There was some pretty scary testimony there at the end of the trial. You follow? The doctor said that if you're able to hear sounds coming out of that means he did not die from the police office.
From what?
From being stepped on. He says he died from other causes. Like, it's shocking what he says. He says, you hear him talking, he's talking, I can't breathe. The fact that he's able to say the words, I can't breathe, means he's able to breathe. Because if he can't breathe, then he couldn't say those words. Will that have any effect on the jurors? I doubt it. I think all the experts say they're going to convict him because it's Sakonis Nefashis for this country otherwise, but that was fascinating, that testimony. Have you followed this stuff? I had almost the whole thing, most of it.
I drank
the good part.
Good stuff.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And the cookie too. What are you going to share with
us? I'm going to eat you right now. No, I'm eating today for lunch. Right now.
You read the article about
Eisenman about suicide. What is he saying over the hours?
There's a lot of depression and.
I think he's exaggerating a little bit.
No, it's not because people are ashamed to say.
Yeah, I know. There are a lot of tsars, that's for sure. But
did you read the article about Lance?
I don't know yet. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it today.
A wonderful Shabbos.
Good to see you. Thank you for coming.
All right.
Hey, Mark, you need a black cat to go with that beard.
You done?
Yep. I got a number. The hot water office.